am Alexander B. Stevens. This is the brand new up and coming podcast entitled, What Is He Thinking? The sometimes uncomfortable, sometimes politically incorrect, but always sincere and truthful podcast for the benefit of women from the perspective of men. You've got questions? I've got answers. Welcome, welcome, welcome. What's going on? This is your host, Alexander Stevens. And as you should already know, this is the brand new up and coming podcast entitled, What Is He Thinking? Available on all major podcast hosting platforms and Amazon Echo. If you have a question or a topic suggestion, please shoot me an email at whatizhethinking@gmail.com. Also, please follow the brand new Instagram page, whatizhethinking, and shoot me a DM. Anyway, today's podcast is entitled, Men Desire a Compliment, Not a Competitor. Men Desire a Compliment, Not a Competitor. Men and women both think that the other gender should think a little bit more like they do and desire exactly what they desire in a mate. But the fact remains that on average, men and women think pretty differently from each other. And as far as a man's checklist when he is looking for a mate being the same as a woman's checklist when she's looking for a man, that's just totally not true. Before we dig a little deeper into this topic, I want to pause a moment so we can hear a word from the title sponsor of this episode of the podcast.
Eno's Corner, it's not just a website. It's not just a podcast. It's a brand and a movement. Go to ninoscorner.com, ninoscorner.com, to get the latest products from Nino. Go to the book section to find Nino's three number one best-selling books, Can You Love Me? A Memoir, a Tribute, Battles Blueprint, Five Self-Battles to Defeat for Success, and My Wonderful Life, an Adoption Story. If you need merchandise, we have that for you too. Our custom Do You Signature Series shirts and other apparel were sure to please. Again, visit www.ninoscorner.com, ninoscorner.com for more information.
Nino, definitely check him out. I've known him for almost 20 years. He is good people. And he will definitely keep you informed and entertained. Anyway, back to the show. Men desire a compliment, not a competitor. Outside of a handful of core values and principles that a pair or a group of human beings need to share in common in order to be able to get along and work together, outside of that, it is how a woman is different from us. How she has something that we don't have, how she can do something that we can't do or can't do well, that she's strong in an area that we are weak in. It's the differences that she has that draws us to her. Men are not looking for a woman that is their identical twin, just in a wig and a dress. Men are looking for the puzzle piece that matches perfectly with his piece.
But Alexander Stevens, gender is a social construct. Men and women are the same except for a couple inches, a couple pounds, and the way we use the restroom. If not for the patriarchy and society imposing upon us from a young age differences that are not natural to us, we would all be the same. Gender is a social construct.
First of all, I don't know exactly who you are, but please remove yourself from the premises. I'm trying to record a show. Second of all, you are absolutely incorrect. At least the science would indicate that you're incorrect. The science indicates that while men and women are more the same than they are different, there still is a noticeable difference between the two genders. In psychological trait theory, the Big Five personality traits, also known as the five-factor model, the Ocean model, was developed in the early 1980s and onward. When a factor analysis statistical technique was applied to a large personality survey, it revealed some noticeable differences between men and women. First, the five factors are as follows: openness to experience, conscientiousness, extraversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. Openness to experience, conscientiousness, extraversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. Now, in order not to get lost in the weeds, I will provide some simplified definitions or explanations of these five factors. Openness to experience. Is a person inventive / curious, or are they cautious / consistent? Conscientiousness. Basically, is a person responsible or irresponsible? Extroversion. Is a person outgoing / energetic, or are they solitary and reserved? Agreeableness. Is a person more concerned about social harmony more than their own preferences, or are they more concerned about their own opinion, preferences, and will than social harmony? Is a person friendly and compassionate, or are they challenging and sometimes calloused? And finally, neuroticism. Is a person sensitive / nervous, or are they resilient / confident? Is a person liable to have extreme emotion, more specifically negative emotion? Is a person more liable to have drastic swings in emotion, or are they more even keel? Those are quick explanations of the five different personality traits that I will discuss. Now, out of the five personality traits, men and women show the most difference in agreeableness and neuroticism. Agreeableness and neuroticism. When it comes to openness, women are slightly more open than men are on average. Conscientiousness. Women are slightly more responsible than men during the latter teen years. Men and women share basically the same level of responsibility in the majority of their adulthood. And then after 60, both men and women's conscientiousness, aka responsibility level, tapers off. And extroversion. Women in general are a little bit more outgoing than men, but like I said, it is not amongst the most pronounced differences between the average man and the average woman. Before I continue, of course, every individual is unique. And when I'm speaking on how men are and how women are, I'm speaking about the averages. I'm speaking about the large middle of the normal bell curve that the majority of people reside at. I'm not talking about the exceptions and those that are on the tail end of the bell curve. Now let's get to the top two personality traits that are most different between men and women, and in my opinion, plays a large factor in men's attraction to a woman. Women, on average, are more agreeable than men, more compassionate, more polite, more willing to self-sacrifice in the name of social harmony than men are. Men are more disagreeable. Men are more willing to challenge the status quo of the social interaction. Men are more calloused in certain circumstances. Men are less concerned about preserving social harmony in a situation. Because of this level of disagreeableness, there's no wonder that the population in prison is 10 men to every one woman. Now, there are theories as to why this difference in agreeableness exists. Some say that women, who are typically in charge of the majority of child rearing, have a higher interest in social harmony because that's what's best for the kids, while men have less of an interest in social harmony because historically men have to compete with each other in order to rise up the social hierarchy in order to get a woman in the first place. So being competitive or trying to stand out isn't necessarily harmonious. In order for a woman to be as disagreeable as the average man, one of the two most disagreeable women in a room of 10 women, in order for her just to be an average man. The same statistical fact is true for the other, and that is neuroticism. Once again, neuroticism is the volatility of emotions or the tendency to suffer extreme, typically negative emotion. Women are basically a standard deviation, more neurotic or more volatile with their emotions, more likely to experience negative emotions than a man is. Because of this fact, there are 3 times as many women on antidepressants and anxiety medication than men are. There are many theories as to why this is true. Some say that women's nervous system is adapted to raising small kids, so you have to be way more sensitive to emotions. Others would say that just the world in general is more dangerous to a woman than it is to a man, for obvious reason. Anyway, those are the 2 main personality differences between men and women. I don't necessarily have to go through the physical differences, except I will mention this, that in general, women are thought to be slightly more verbally intelligent, while men are better spatially than women are. So women are better with words, men are better judging and reacting to the speed, angle, trajectory, acceleration and deceleration of things, people, and animals. I threw some similarities out there earlier, and I will drop another one. Men and women are basically the same on average in IQ. Now, the distribution curve is thought to be flatter amongst men than it is women, meaning there are more men on the extreme intelligent end and the mentally handicapped, mentally retarded end of the spectrum. But on average, men and women share the same level of overall intelligence. Lastly, and I don't want to say most importantly, but I will say, you know, it's on the same level as agreeableness and neuroticism. Lastly, a major difference between men and women is interests. Men and women differ in interests. Women are typically more interested in people. Men are more interested in things. Women are more interested in aesthetics. Men are more interested in ideals. So basically, women are more interested in people, their fashion, their accessories, the ambiance, decoration. And men are more interested in inanimate objects, how they work, systems, whether we're talking mechanical systems or systems of people, and ideals. So those are the 3 main differences: agreeableness, neuroticism, and interests. Why do I bring all this up? Because men aren't looking for a carbon copy of themselves. They're looking for someone that has what they don't have, someone that's strong in the area they're not strong in. They're looking for an individual so that when you combine what you do with what I do, we have all the bases covered. We're not redundant. Now, I'm not gonna lie, some of the differences do frustrate us men, but it's kind of like can't live with it, can't live without it. The neuroticism, the instability of emotion, the high highs and the low lows, that does throw us off a bit. But at the same time, a man will feel like he's dating another man if a woman is emotionless and doesn't have any type of extreme emotion. Emotion and passion add spice to life. So keep that in mind. And yes, men do have issues and difficulties with how women communicate in general, because it's not as direct and succinct as we communicate. But at the same time, a dude is going to feel like he is in a homosexual relationship if he's dealing with a woman that is as curt, crude, blunt, and short as he can be sometimes. So keep that in mind as well. We desire the differences. Speaking of desiring the differences, let's move away from the hard science and move toward a discussion of masculinity and femininity. Masculinity and femininity. The more masculine a man is, the more feminine a woman he desires. The less masculine a man is, the less feminine a woman can be, and he still be okay with it. Masculinity and femininity are yin and yang. They are puzzle pieces fitting inside each other. They are complementary. They are compatible. They are not in competition, and they definitely are not a carbon copy of each other. They are not the same thing. Men desire the differences. So, what is femininity? Well, one way to describe femininity is to describe it as being agreeable, being interested in people, aesthetics, and being emotional. Doesn't that kind of sound like what I just spent 10 minutes talking about? So that's one way you could oversimplify femininity. But let's look at another definition. Webster's definition, femininity, the quality or nature of the female sex, the quality, state, or degree of being feminine or womanly. Feminine, characteristics of or appropriate or unique to women. Examples, feminine beauty, a feminine perspective. Femininity, according to Wikipedia, is a set of attributes, behaviors, and roles generally associated with women and girls. Although femininity is socially constructed, they say, research indicates that some behaviors considered feminine are biologically influenced, like I just said. To what extent femininity is biologically or socially influenced is subject to debate. Nature versus nurture. How much does nature and how much does nurture affect femininity? It varies from individual to individual. Because everyone was raised in a different family, individuals within a family are raised differently from their siblings. Each family is in a different neighborhood with a different culture, different part of town, different city, different part of the state, different part of the country, different culture of the country. Different country, different continent, different time periods, etc., etc. Each individual has a different amount of influence from the environment. And of course, everyone's DNA in itself is different. So it's pretty difficult to parse out how much femininity is a social construct and how much of it is biological. But fact remains that there is an element of it for the overwhelming majority of women that is biological. Wikipedia goes on and gives us traits that are traditionally cited as feminine. These traits include gentleness, empathy, humility, and sensitivity. So those are the main traits Wikipedia associates with femininity. Beyond Wikipedia, if you continue to dig into this topic and do research, femininity and masculinity are described as follows. Femininity is an attitude toward life. It's a softness. It's a calmness. Femininity is nurturing. Femininity operates out of emotions. Femininity focuses on relationships with people, places, things. Femininity is about communication and bonding. Femininity is being in tune with your feelings and the feelings of others. Femininity is allowing yourself to express fully your emotions and to understand the emotions of others. Femininity is focusing on the experience, while masculinity is focusing on the results. Femininity is detail-oriented, while masculinity is big-picture-oriented. Masculinity is linear thinking, logic, bottom line, bullet points. Solve a problem and move forward to the next. Masculinity is doing and thinking over feelings. Masculinity is less detail-oriented, more action-oriented. Masculinity is sternness for discipline, factualness for direction. Masculinity provides and protects. Femininity is free-flowing, sweet smells, warmth, smiles. Sometimes when communicating, femininity is venting, while masculinity is using communication to problem solve. Femininity is delicate, ladylike, concerned about appearances. Feminine, receptive. Masculine, projective. Feminine, passive. Masculine, active. Feminine, contractive. Masculine, giving. Feminine, intuitive. Masculine, expansive. Feminine, inward. Masculine, outward. Healthy femininity. Unconditional love. Understanding. Nurturing. Tenderness. Kindness. Intuitive. Creative. Feeling. Healthy masculinity. Confidence. Inner strength. Responsibility. Focus. Logical. Support. Stability. Direction. healthy femininity is stillness, flow, radiance, surrender, sensitivity, emotional, ease, allowing. Healthy masculinity is protection, clarity, boundaries, courage, discipline, capability, certain, assertive. Now, to be a balanced individual, yes, you do have to have both feminine and masculine energy. But of course, females should have way more feminine energy than masculine energy, and vice versa. Femininity is the complement of masculinity. It's not always the opposite. Sometimes it is the opposite, but it's always the complement of masculinity. So why am I going into all this? Why am I talking about personality traits? Why am I talking about femininity, masculinity? Well, if you go back to episode one of the podcast, items number 3 and 2 that men most look for in a woman is her femininity and her personality. So I felt it would only make sense for me to dig deeper into those two elements. Furthermore, society has somewhat demonized femininity and traditional masculinity. Society has basically told women that femininity is weak. Femininity is being oppressed. Femininity is not what you want to embrace. Furthermore, society has told men that masculinity is toxic, tyrannical, controlling, oppressive, and they should rise above traditional masculinity. So to oversimplify things, society is telling women to act more like men and men to act more like women. Society is wanting both genders to come toward the middle and be some kind of homogenized, androgynous, trans, I don't know what. So as society has been pushing that, guess what's happened to relationship and marriages and male-female interactions, period. They have been getting more volatile, less steady, less fulfilling, less long-lasting. Coincidence? I think not. So what is my advice to you, ladies? My advice to you is threefold. 1, embrace your femininity. Do not run from it. Embrace, tap into, go back to your natural femininity. More men will be attracted to you if you are in your feminine. When you're dating someone, if they don't allow you to be in your feminine, or you don't feel like you can be, you don't feel comfortable in your feminine, then that's just a sign that that man is not the right man for you. Embrace your femininity. Masculine men want feminine women. The more masculine he is, the more feminine he would like for you to be. Furthermore, the more masculine a man is, the more successful he tends to be if his masculinity doesn't go overboard. 2, personality. The more in your feminine you are, the more your personality will be a complement, will be compatible to men. And in regards to elements of your personality that don't really have to do with being feminine, such as a clever sense of humor, a never met a stranger conversational style, an inspirational, optimistic spirit. Add these things or further develop these things in your personality and you will be irresistible to men. Men desire the differences. We are attracted to the differences. We want a compliment, not a competitor. We don't want to date ourselves. The more masculine you are, the more your personality is exactly like his, the more he's going to feel like he has to compete with you, or the less likely he's going to deal with you at all in the first place. Personalities need to be compatible. Your personality needs to be dynamic. Your personality needs to complement. And 3, if your natural state isn't that feminine, if naturally you are a less feminine, more masculine woman, then you need to understand this. There are only 2 types of men that you're going to be able to get with, and I don't know if you want either. The masculine woman is only going to be able to deal with the beta or the feminine male or the toxically masculine male. A masculine woman only will attract a man that is so toxically over-the-top masculine that it makes her masculinity seem feminine, or she will attract a man that is somewhat feminine himself. So in the case of the toxically masculine man, that's a pretty much a guarantee you're going to get cheated on or beat on. And I'm pretty sure you don't want that. And with the feminine male, that could work out long term. But many times women get put off by feminine men, or they get exhausted by having to be in their masculine so often. So you have to keep the burnout factor in mind. But if you truly are naturally more masculine, less feminine, just know those are the two extremes you're probably going to have to deal with. So mentally prepare yourself for that and be able to respond and react and act accordingly. Lastly, like I've said many times before, men want a compliment, not a competitor. Men don't want to date themselves in a skirt. Men are attracted to the differences that women have. If you want to stand out amongst other women of 2020, if you want to increase the chances of being able to attract a man, then you need to accentuate, polish up, and showcase your feminine energy and personality uniqueness to a man. Your personality differences. Like I said before, yes, there needs to be, you know, some common ground. You don't necessarily want to be complete opposites, because there has to be some common ground in order to get along at all. But besides that, it's the differences that make the difference. You don't become a more desirable woman in the dating marketplace by acting like a man or trying to do things that men traditionally have done, or having the same resume that you would desire out of a mate that you would want. Those things don't do it for us. It's the polarity. It's the compatibility. It's the complementary thing that makes us have a burning desire for you, that makes us fall head over heels in love with you. That should just about wrap things up. I appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to what I have to say. And if you found any part of this episode helpful, thought-provoking, or intriguing, please share it with a friend. The more people I can help, the better I feel within. If you have any questions, any suggestions for new topics for me to discuss in the future, or if you need any clarification on anything I have spoken on, please just shoot me an email at whatishethinking@gmail.com. whatishethinking@gmail.com. Or you can send me a message via my Anchor website. All you need to do is go to anchor.fm/whatishethinking/message. anchor.fm/whatishethinking/message. Go there, leave me a couple words, and if it's constructive, I will definitely get back to you or keep your thoughts in mind when I record future podcasts. And never forget, I'm not here to tickle your ear. My only goal is to tell you what you need to know. I'm not here to offend. I just want to see you win with men. Well, until we meet again.